Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble and they will fall. And
it's 5:37 p.m. There's a cold sweat on the back of your neck. You're standing at an ATM in a crowded grocery store. A few yards away, the cashier's drumming her long red nails on the counter next to your groceries. There's a long line of people waiting to pay. You turn back to the ATM and swipe your card for the third time. Nothing happens. Your card won't work. Behind you, someone in line lets out an exasperated sigh. You apologize to the cashier. Annoyed, you head back to your car, where you fish out your cell phone and give the bank a call. It takes three tries until a woman's voice finally answers. But it's just a recorded message, so garbled you can't make out a word. You hang up, start your engine. On the way home, you stop off at a gas station. The attendant comes out as usual, but before you can speak, he asks a strange question. You buying or selling? Confused, you tell him you just want to fill her up. But when you try to give him your credit card, he suddenly backs away. Sorry, we're closed, man, sorry. You sit there for a moment, wondering what has happened. Finally, you head home. You tell your wife what happened? Definitely strange. But she figures it's probably just a computer problem at the bank. They'll have it sorted out by morning. You agree, but as you fall asleep later that night, you're not so sure. Suddenly, it's 4 a.m., and there's a cold fear deep in the pit of your stomach. Something doesn't feel right. It's not just a computer problem. You know it. First thing next morning, you take a trip to the bank. It doesn't look open. A piece of paper taped to one of the doors tells you that it's been closed temporarily. No explanation, just a phone number to call, and what looks like a government logo, but not one you recognize. You give the number a shot. It's that garbled message again. You hang up. Around the side of the building, there are a couple of dented ATMs with broken screens. As you head back to your car, you notice a man kneeling down by a pickup truck parked nearby. He's got a hose running from the truck's gas tank into a jerry can. Suddenly, he looks up and catches you staring at him. The look in his eyes tells you not to linger. He watches as you get in your car and drive off. Everything's closed. It's that same piece of paper everywhere. The same dark screens on every ATM. You start running into other desperate people, trying to deposit Social Security checks, take out cash, or find out why their cards suddenly aren't working. This is not just a problem with your bank. Your whole town is essentially shut down. And now, that fear, that cold fear comes back. Something is very, very wrong. Credit cards aren't working anywhere. Most stores and gas stations are closed. Those that are still open have cash-only signs on their doors. That's a big problem, because you don't have much cash left.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material compositions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Joseph Gibson. We're on Blog Talk Radio live, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. It's Thursday evening, a little after 6 p.m. on the East Coast. Hope everybody's well and they're doing well. I picked that intro tonight. I always like to pick different intros. Some people don't like them. Some people do. I close out with basically the same thing. I play, you know, things that have a part of our history or something inspirational, and some people, you know, they hang up and they don't want to listen. Hey, you know, everybody's in a rush. We got places to go. I understand everybody's late for work. But I want to touch up on one subject real quick, because I don't want to, you know, forget about it. The Navy vet who was on the hunger strike and Topeka, Kansas, because CPS kidnapped his children. After 16, 17 days, he's no longer on his hunger strike. His lawyer, his now attorney, has filed a federal lawsuit. So apparently they're taking action and requesting action quickly. So his strike, now that he's starting to see some results, has ended, thankfully, because, after 17 days without food, his health was, deteriorating. I listened to him on one show. He was on this program a couple weeks ago in the beginning of his strike, and he was a little bit out of it. I don't know how he continued on that long. Like I said, he was on a show the day before this happened, and he was just absolutely delirious. He couldn't answer questions. He did the best he could. It was just, it's amazing. I couldn't go a day without food, to be honest with you. So he's a vet. He's strong, and he believes in something, and that's what our veterans are about in this country, and people don't understand that. And they should give them the respect they deserve, especially the ones that pay the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. And the families of those vets should also be respected. Now, listen, you may not agree with the Iraq War, the Vietnam War, whatever. That's fine. Most of our vets don't agree with it either. However, it does not mean you take it out on the veterans who are performing a service, doing their duty because of our mistakes as citizens and allowing these criminal politicians to put them over into that situation. Okay? We disagree with the Iraqi war. Well, what happens? We did it twice. We made the mistake two times, didn't we? And technically, we're still over there. The contractors are over there. And, there's still money being stripped over there. It's just in Afghanistan. They're still fighting over Afghanistan. My nephew, Alex, he's been on this show from Fort Hood, Texas, is in the Army, and he tells us what's going on. And, he's been on this show several times, an 18-year-old young man in the Army. And I don't want to see him go off to one of these wars, but I will support him. What am I going to do when he comes back? Spit in his face like most people do and talk junk to him, talk smack? Those people who do that are un-American. They should be drafted. Those are the ones that need to be drafted, have their asses dragged over there fighting one of these wars. Teach them a lesson, what it's all about. Like I said, you shouldn't be spitting in our vets' faces. You should be kissing faces. You should be dancing around that Capitol building every day, the crimes that they're committing in there. But anyway, back to this Navy vet that ended his hunger strike. I asked his attorney, I reached out to his attorney to, get him on the program to give a comment about the case, but we all know lawyers. They're very difficult to get a hold of unless there's a dollar bill at the other at the end of the line there. So we won't go any further than that. But I did reach out to him to try to give a comment tonight. So hopefully, maybe he'll check in with us. But I understand, he has done a lot of good, this attorney. I researched him and looked into his biography and all the cases that he's represented and fought for. So he does fight for the underdog, and that's what we do on this program. We try to fight for the underdog. So the Navy vet, his hunger strike is over, so that we're glad about that. So now he could fight with a clear mind. I mean, a lot of people posted comments about that. Oh, he's on a hunger. If he gets sick, goes in the hospital, how's he supposed to fight for his children? Well, listen, he's got a wife. Listen, he's making a standpoint. He's taking a stand, like all our veterans do. And if he has to die for that cause, then so be it. That's what these people, these liberals, don't get. They don't understand it. They don't stand up for anything. That's why they fall for everything. And George Washington made that quote. We must speak the truth, stand for the truth, or we may and will fall for anything and everything. That was in his farewell address. So you can learn a lot about our founding fathers, and you can learn a lot from our founding fathers if you just read You don't have to read the Constitution. Read the Federalist Papers. Go into the Library of Congress. Read the letters Jefferson wrote, Washington wrote. All this stuff is archived. Okay? It's just like this show. It'll be archived. We live in the information age. This show will be on the internet forever. It'll be floating around out there, and it'll be on my website. So those of you who may miss this show, I got a couple questions, like some people wanted to tune in tonight. And they said, you know, if I miss the show, how can I, what am I going to, you know, it's archived. You can go back and download the program, so don't worry. I just like to produce a show live so we can be original, because there's no commercials, there's no nonsense. I pay for this program out of my pocket to give you a voice, okay? This isn't free. This bandwidth isn't free. It's not free at all. So I pay out of my pocket so you can have a voice out there. And a lot of people are appreciative. I have a lot of supporters out there, and I appreciate that. But I asked a few individuals to check in with me tonight. Hopefully, I have a full screen of callers on the line. I've got a chat room that's full. And what you have to do is, if you were requested to come on to this program and you know who you are, you have got to press 1, okay, after you called in, and I will see an icon pop up on my screen. And then I will, of course, allow you onto the program. All you have to do is press 1. Only one time. Don't press it twice, 3, 4 times, because you'll screw everything up. Just press it once. And that goes for anyone who has a question, who wants to contribute, or has a show idea. I always allow everyone onto this program. We have it's open to everyone. But sometimes we have scheduled guests. But you're always welcome also to contribute at the end, or even ask questions, okay? I don't screen anybody like other shows do. I don't block anyone. I don't edit you. It's 100% live. So be respectful. I know last week we got a lot of hate callers calling in, crank callers. Hey, all you're doing is boosting up my ratings. So if you want to act like an idiot, make a fool out of yourself, by all means, go ahead. As soon as you click on, I'll disconnect you. That's all there's to it. So you got to press 1. So the first caller that is on right now is let's see. I got about 45 callers online. So let me go up the 48. I got 48 tonight. My lines can only handle 50. So the first one is the area code 603, and the last 4 digits are 8035. So I'm gonna go ahead and connect this individual right now. Hello, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson. Can you hear me?
Hey, Joseph. This is Deacon Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Calling you from up here in New Hampshire. Our friend Ira there in the area had set up for myself and Chris to call in.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, so you were one of the guests. Is Chris calling from area code 318?
Let me look. I don't. That's the unfortunate part about cell phones. I forget what area codes people are.
Well, how about the last 4? I don't like to give everyone's phone number out, so I'll just do the last 4. 7315, that might be Chris.
Yeah, let me double check. I've got to look in my phone. It'll take me just a second here.
That's okay. Take your time. I just want to make sure I get the right people on that are scheduled guests for tonight.
Yeah, 7315?
Yes, that's it. Okay, I'm going to connect him right now. Okay, I'm patching him through. Chris, how you doing, Chris? Can you hear me? Hello, Chris. Chris.
Sorry, I had to take myself off mute.
Okay, Chris, how you
I'm
doing?
Good.
Okay, I got Chris. Okay, we've got everybody here that's supposed to be here tonight. Okay, now, tell me about your organization, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I will give you the floor as long as you can remain with me. I don't have any commercials. I don't cut people off. You can promote. We have a lot of people on the line right now. I have veterans, and I'm also going to call my friend, who is the former national commander. His wife, actually, is the former national commander. She's a woman. She's the first female ever who was the national commander of the VFW. And so we're going to check in with her husband tonight, who's also a Navy vet, later, a little bit later on. So the floor is yours. Tell us, one of you can start off, and both of you are on simultaneously. So just go ahead and start, either one of you first, and talk about your organization and tell me what you're about.
All right. We are the president and vice president nominees for Veterans Party of America. We accepted the nominations in August of 2015. And since that time, we have been actively campaigning, trying to get attention from the major parties and get people to understand who we are, what we're about. Veterans Party of America was founded in December 2013 on the eve that Congress opted to bring their budget into line by slashing veterans' benefits, military pay, military benefits, veterans' benefits, retirements, services. Basically everything they did at our expense. And it wasn't the first time, but for those who took the initiative to make a real political statement, it was our last straw.
So, okay, and let me ask you now, are you in all 50 states currently, or do you have chapters in all 50 states?
The party is established in all 50 states. We are right now working on ballot access and recognition in all 50 states. But the party is established. There is a group working in every state.
Okay. That's very good. So if this isn't just for veterans, it's for the people to understand and support the veterans of our country, correct?
Absolutely. It was founded by veterans, and those are the core fundamental values of the party. As every veteran has sworn an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, that is the fundamental value of this party. It is not an exclusive party. It's not the VFW political party. It is a party founded by veterans for all Americans. And our intent is to restore a truly representative constitutional government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So it isn't required that you be a veteran to be part of the party, to be a candidate. It only requires that you're willing to make the same commitment to supporting and defending the Constitution that we've all made.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Now, do you support, like, for instance, I've had Oath Keepers. Have you heard of the Oath Keepers organization? Do you have any familiarization with them?
Yes, we're familiar with Oath Keepers and the 3%.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to put you in any type of position, but I just say we've had people on that program. Also, I had an individual who's a veteran. His name was Sean Rowe on this program. He formed an organization, Veterans Against ISIS. Have you ever heard of them?
I'm not familiar with that group.
Okay. Well, they were well known for a while. They disbanded the group because the federal government actually told them, if you form any type of veteran group to go over there and take action against ISIS or try to engage ISIS, you'll be arrested. So what they did was they took all the funds that were collected and disbanded the organization, and now basically fight for the veterans who are we're losing veterans every day due to suicide. So they're taking these funds to try to help them medically now. And because our veterans are in trouble, because like you said, our government has abandoned them, this de facto government, this criminal government we have right now. And I don't know what position actually you stand on, but I myself, this government is de facto. We do not have a de jure republic anymore. And we need to restore our Constitution with this government and enforce our Constitution. You brothers and sisters out there who are veterans, you're fighting for something that is de facto, and it's a shame. And I know you know what I'm talking about because it's in your heart. I can hear it in every veteran. You can hear it in their voice. They took an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. I mean, it's terrible. And people out there, like I said in my opening, who disrespect veterans, let me tell you something. That disgusts me more than anything. So my supporters out there and listeners, how can they reach you? And please give me any information about your websites or organization and promote it as much as you can.
All right. The party's website is veteranspartyofamerica.org. It is available on the World Wide Web. You can review our mission statement, our party's platform, who all of our leadership is, any national candidates are posted there. My website, the campaign website for Deacon and I, is chriskeniston2016.com. chriskeniston2016.com. The political party and the campaign are both available to the public on Facebook, actually most major social media sites, but we're most interactive on Facebook. So if you look up Veterans Party of America or Chris Keniston for President 2016 on Facebook, you will be talking to us directly. I manage and maintain the campaign page myself. I don't let anyone else do it for me. There are a couple other people with access to post, you know, group messages, but 99% of what happens on that page is me personally.
Okay, that's
party,
great. And what? I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. The Veterans Party of America page on Facebook is maintained by the party leadership. So most often, if you communicate with anyone there, you're talking to our national chairman, Mark Wilder.
Okay, your national chairman. Are you the vice president? Are you the one that's the vice president right now?
No, I'm the presidential candidate. Deacon.
Oh, you're a presidential candidate. Oh, okay,
yes.
And he gets a vice presidential candidate. Okay, very good. And can I get him? Can I get him also to maybe contribute a little bit? Are you still there, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I
always defer to Chris because he's the one that is has got the vision for where this campaign's going.
Oh, well, and he's very well spoken, and I respect him already. But go ahead, give me your standpoint on this organization and what your ultimate goals are. As like, I'm sure they're similar to his, but give me your background and your branch of service you serve. Just tell me about yourself.
Well, so I am currently sitting up here in New Hampshire at the Dysfunctional Veterans Farm, helping them get some things done as they've just moved into this new property. My background, I was a 8-year Army veteran, spent most of it at the Joint Readiness Training Center and the Special Warfare Center. Got out in 2000 and got into contracting, did that for quite some time, and then along the way just continued to watch the political movements in this country and seeing how the main two parties have really deliberately and specifically ignored the American public and a lot of the liberties and values that we were founded under. And so at one point in time, about 4 years ago, I think it was, I realized that the two parties were likely going to run somebody like Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush or both. And I couldn't sit back and watch it anymore. So I started looking at how I was going to get involved. About a year ago, found the Veterans Party of America because I was researching every political organization I could find, and none of them reflected my views or opinions. They all had decent talking points, but their actions did not represent anything to me. And so when I finally found the Veterans Party, I finally found a group that were willing to not only talk about things, but actually research and then discuss in what I would call standard American language so we can actually understand what's going on instead of all this legalese and jumbled up nonsense that most of the politicians use. And I found a group that was willing to put their butts on the line like we did back when we were in the military. It's not just talking about things, it's action items, and here's what's going on in this state, and here's what's going on in this election, and realizing what it's going to take to actually fix the mess that's in our country right now.
That was great what you just said. That was great. That was really great. But what's your stand on the VFW? I mean, do you support the VFW? Because like I said, I'm gonna if you want, I can try to get one of my friends on here who does a lot of work for the VFW, and his wife is a former national commander at the VFW. What's your standpoint on them? Not to put you on the spot, just give me your honest opinion.
Well, it's ironic that you bring that up. I was actually in Kansas City about 3 or 4 months ago. I've been on the road now since August on my motorcycle traveling back and forth, but I stopped in Kansas City and did an impromptu drop-in at the VFW National Headquarters and sat down with the, what was his title? I forget what his title was, but he's the number two guy at the VFW in the main headquarters building. And we spent almost an hour together talking about a lot of the great programs that the VFW has done over the years and the challenges that they're facing with. Most people in the veterans community have this very strong opinion that it's my granddad's drinking hole, and that's not what the VFW is really about. That's what some of the posts have turned into over the years, but that's certainly not what the VFW does. Between their Student Veterans of America organization that they've been building, to the fact that they've realized that they needed to open up their family group to both men and women, because not everybody that serves in the military is just a man anymore and hasn't been for a long time. They're doing some pretty progressive stuff, so I'm a huge fan of what they've done.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And like I said, you're very well spoken. You know what you're talking about. And then you were in Kansas. And my friend right now, he's traveling around the country right now. I'm going to go ahead and try to put him on so we get a third voice here. And maybe we can get you three to converse, maybe exchange ideas. I'll introduce him to you and see how that goes real quick. I'm going to go ahead and dial his number right now and see if I can get him on. It looks like I may not get them. Okay, I guess I'm not going to get them. I'll go ahead and cancel the call. Maybe he'll call in. He's actually, let me cancel that call. He's in the process right now of traveling to the state of Florida. They travel all around the country. They go... Well, how they do it, I do not know. How many miles they drive is amazing. Right now, Dr. Peter Ventura and his wife, Marilyn, I talked to him before the show, and he said he was in the process of going to Florida. So, right, he actually lives on Imperial Beach in San Diego on the Navy base out there. And, he's constantly on the road, and he has a church now. He's a pastor of a church out there. I wish I could have got him on here to converse, and his wife also, because she's a very professional woman. Like I said, the former national commander of the VFW, right now she handles the claims for the vets in the state of California. It will be very interesting to have her on. But, please carry on. And how can do you have the same website as the other gentleman, or can we, or do you have some another website where? Because like you said, you're a candidate also. How can my supporters or listeners get a hold of you?
Well, so absolutely, I'm part of the Chris Keniston campaign as his selected VP nominee. That's my role, is to work with him. So it's under the Chris Keniston 2016. .com site.
Oh, I have Peter. I have Peter. He just called in, so I'm going to go ahead and connect him. Sorry. Let me connect. Peter, how you doing, Peter?
Good. I'm doing well, Joseph. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I have the two gentlemen I told you about who are going to be on my program tonight from the Veterans Party of America, and he actually was in Kansas. This gentleman here I'm speaking to spoke with the second man in charge of VFW. He said he was riding his bike across Kansas. But, Peter, tell me, you and your wife are a big part of the VFW, and these individuals, I want them to tell you a little bit about themselves, because I believe you three or you four can really do something very important for the veterans across this country, because these two individuals really know what they're talking about, and their organization is actually great. I've looked it up. I've read a little bit about it. And, Peter, can you tell me a little bit about, I don't know if your wife's with you or not, your wife and her position with the VFW and what you and her have done over the past couple of years for the veterans in this country?
Sure. My wife is a member. My wife's a 20-year Navy veteran, retired 100%.
disabled. She's a war vet. I'm a Navy veteran, Vietnam era. And my wife is a member of the VFW. She was a first female commander of the VFW in Mission Valley, California. And since then, she went on to the organization, which is the honor degree of the VFW, which is called the Military Order of the Cootie. And I know it sounds corny, but the reason why they adopted that name is, you have to know a little bit about that, is during trench warfare, the soldiers were in the trenches, and they were unable to shower. And so the bugs, different type of lice and things would get on them in the trenches. And when an enemy aircraft or the enemy moved in an opposite position, those bugs would move on them and cause them to itch, and it would tell them that they were about to be attacked. And so their motto is, keep them smiling in beds of white. They're really the hospital workers. And they also have, you know, support the National Home for Children, the VFW. And we do a lot of volunteer work. I think they raised $6 million last year for the veterans. We hold a benefit once a month, a breakfast, and then we go up and use that money to buy certificates and take care of the veterans at the VA home out in La Jolla, California. And of course, our organization is, you know, presents wreaths for the war dead and at Arlington. My wife's an honor guard there. And so the organization itself is designed to support wounded veterans, and it's kind of the fun side of the VFW. It's a little less serious than the VFW organization itself, but she is a member of the VFW, and so that's what she does.
And Chris, while I have you now, please explain to Peter. Give me basically what you told me, if you don't mind repeating yourself, because I really think you guys, because he's on the other side of the country from where you're at, and I really believe what you guys are doing for the vets across this country is superb, and you're a candidate. Just tell Peter, if you don't mind, a little bit more about yourself, like you told me, and the other gentleman on the line, too. I'm sorry, because I usually don't do this, but I like to have, this is great, because I have a panel now. So, Chris, go ahead. React to what Peter said and compare what he said to what you're doing.
Well, I mean, the Veterans Party of America is a legitimately founded political party. We're registered with the FEC. We're in the process of getting recognition in all 50 states. And we absolutely intend to compete head-to-head with the major parties, however long that ambitious endeavor takes. I mean, we're veterans. We don't quit on stuff just because it gets hard. So the basic foundation of the party is we are a constitutional party. We are a centrist party. We are neither liberal nor conservative. We take a very strict constitutional view of what government should be. And that is what we intend to restore. We will put forth ethical representatives with no special interest agendas who will represent the people who elect them and act in their best interest.
And Chris, now, all right, Peter, now, as to what he's saying, because I'm just maybe some of our listeners, too, especially the ones that aren't veterans who support this show but do support the vets, how does that compare with what you're doing and what these two gentlemen are doing? I mean, because I'm a little confused, because I'm not a part of them or you, but I'm kind of like in the middle here, and I'm a little confused, like, how are they helping the vets compared to how you're helping the vets? I mean, shouldn't you unite and join together and maybe, you know, I just don't understand. Maybe you understand, Peter.
Well, I would have a couple of questions to clarify
sure.
The organization. I'm not familiar with your organization, Chris. And so obviously this is a new organization. Is that what it is, newly founded?
It was established in December 2013, yes. So this is our first major election cycle.
Oh, I see. And so what is the constitution of your organization? I mean, what is your fundamental statement? What is the goal of, you know, what is the purpose of your organization? And I'm asking this not facetiously or not to be a wise guy, out of curiosity, because I really don't know. So, and then it gives me a better understanding. Mm-hmm. I think give the audience a better understanding exactly. You say you're interested in You know, and I agree, the Constitution of the United States needs to be restored. And I don't think there's any veteran in the country or anybody who disagrees. I think that's why there's a lot of anger. We're tired of special interests and we're tired of the establishment, as it's called. And when I say establishment, I mean the wealthy who are running the country.
That's correct.
Without regard for the rest of us. And I understand that. And I think a lot of veterans take the same position. And so how do you achieve what you intend to achieve?
Through the democratic process of the vote. One of the things that a lot of people maybe aren't aware of, don't realize, is that the vast majority of elected offices, even at the federal level at this point, are awarded uncontested, meaning that either a Republican or a Democrat candidate files for that office, and they make deals between the two parties as to which offices will and will not be contested.
They say there's three parties in Washington, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and then the cocktail party where the deals are made.
Yeah. And in reality, there's only one party, and that's becoming more and more evident.
What's your position on Donald Trump? What do you think about Donald Trump for the veterans?
I don't believe he is sincere in the least.
Okay.
I don't think that Donald Trump woke up in 2016 and suddenly decided to be the person he presents himself to be. He's got a 60-some year track record of backing the Clinton family especially. He's always had a close relationship with the Clintons.
Right.
So
right.
I don't believe it, personally.
I respect that. I've talked to a lot of veterans, and they say, well, you know, who are you going to vote in? You definitely don't want Hillary in there, and you certainly don't want a socialist in there. But what do we do if we end up with Ted Cruz? And how is he going to support our veterans?
You couldn't get me to choose one of the five remaining. Honestly, we have whittled down to the last five options between the two major parties, and I don't trust any of them. I didn't trust anyone. There were over 20 to pick from. That's just where I am with American politics. I've seen enough cut and taken from veterans, and not just veterans, but obviously the things done congressionally and signed into law by various presidents that have taken from what was promised to the veteran community is a lot of the reason that I have no faith in either party. I never really did, but certainly over the last 20 years, they've done absolutely nothing but reinforce my opinion that I can't trust either party. That's why I'm involved in Veterans Party of America.
So would you say you're developing a third party?
Oh, absolutely. Our intent is to become a fully functional 50-state third party. And we're not
That clarifies it better for me. Now I understand.
We're not simply chasing the presidency. It just so happened that my best presidential candidate and myself were arranged to be on the show this evening. But the truth is we are pursuing every office from school board to president of the United States. We intend to challenge them at every level.
Okay. And that's great. I believe that's great, Peter. That's great. That's what we're looking for. And you know what? We know our vets around the country aren't the scumbag politicians like we've been talking about, and I'll say it bluntly. And I believe what he says about Trump, and I know a lot of people on this show support Donald Trump because they're voting for the less of two evils, but what that gentleman just said makes a lot of sense. He has a 60-year track record of not being who he is
progressive.
Today.
A big government progressive. So
yeah,
what's
here's
a big government
we're,
progressive?
We're,
that's really what we have here.
Well, now we have what we have now is we have a as you say, a third party and formalizing. And then we end up with we're at the elections now. Do you have time, do you think, Chris, to make an impact in this election?
I've been surprised by the growth and by the reception to this point. And with roughly 6 months remaining, I feel really good about our chances. I think I'll tell you something that's been an interesting dynamic of this campaign. After every single major party debate, we get a flood of new followers. After Super Tuesday, we picked up 200, 300 people just that day alone.
Wow.
So
Peter, real quick, you need to understand, this is the Republican and Democratic nomination process. This isn't for the presidency, you know. So these individuals have plenty of time.
Well, I understand.
I really think once we get down to the final two, I think we're going to look a lot more attractive even than we do now.
Yeah.
Well, how does that work delegate-wise? I mean, how will you get a delegate vote out of that unless the party splits? I haven't seen your candidate on a ballot anywhere or running in office. I mean,
Peter, that's what I'm saying. This is the Republican and Democratic nomination process. Once the presidential nomination process starts, there can be a third party entered onto all the ballots, so the delegates don't matter. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, the Republicans and Democrats are competing for their party's nominations. Deacon and I have already accepted the Veterans Party nomination. We're done.
I see.
So you will not see us on a ballot until November.
Oh, okay, great.
I think one of your greatest achievements will be to have the exposure you need. And that exposure is, you know, there's a national VFW convention once a year. And there are other veterans conventions. There's a regional and a national convention. I believe the national convention is in Charlotte in July. The national VFW convention this year is going to be in Charlotte. And the national CUDI convention will follow that. And I think if you can get your foot in that door to speak with the veterans, you know, because one of the parties always show up, sometimes both of them, to talk to the veterans.
Well, certainly, if we were extended an invitation, we would attend.
And how would we do that, Peter? Since we know you're invited to this convention, we know that because you and I have talked about this. How can we get these two gentlemen here there to Charlotte?
Well,
how can we do that?
I'm personally riding on my wife's coattail into these conventions. I haven't joined the VFW, and I haven't joined the Cooties, and they've been begging me to. Because they want some leadership change, and I just haven't made that commitment because of my other commitments that I have at this point. But that's an interesting question, and I'll have to ask Marilyn that when I speak to her this evening, and I'll ask her how would one get invited into the national convention.
I'd like to see these two gentlemen invited. Yeah, I'd like to see these two gentlemen invited. Like you said, if they can gain the support of the veterans at this convention, that would be a big uplift and really help their cause, because from what I'm hearing from both of them, and listen, they accepted my invitation without any type of questions or like, well, what are you about? What are you going to talk about? No, they came onto this program blind. I didn't talk to any one of these individuals until we were 100% live, 10 after 6. So these individuals, they're true blue vets who speak their mind and stand up for what they believe in, Peter. So, and this is what we want in this country, you know?
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think the country's, you know, what surprises me at this point of the country is that I'm surprised that the military hasn't taken the country and put it back in a democratic process. But that always missed me. I think that when there was rumblings of that within the ranks of the military, you noticed a lot of old-timers got laid off, as they say. They let them go out of the military. They got rid of a lot of higher-ranking service officers, because I think there was a grumbling about that this year, what I'm saying. And so,
absolutely, Peter. I mean, when the military approval rate for the president is 15%, the government has a problem.
Darn right. And Peter,
not just the presidential approval rating. Let's talk about the congressional.
The congressional.
There's my other guest. I wanted to get him in here to talk to Peter too before he had to go. Thanks for jumping in. Go ahead, sir.
No. I really think that as a whole, the entire system has an approval rating that's just absolutely abhorrent. I don't know of a single person that I meet out here on the road that has any regard for what's coming out of Washington, D.C. And as far as us getting exposure and in this process, I always like to point out to folks that there are approximately 20 million veterans in this country. And there's approximately 80 million of their family members in this country that tend to all have fairly consistent viewpoints and fairly consistent value sets. And when you start to realize that the number of us that are very frustrated with the parties, even though I see the Vets Vote, which is a very Democratic organization that's been created, and I see the CVA, which has been set up basically as a front for the GOP, I see the veterans that are involved in those groups. But as these two parties go through the rest of their nomination process, we will see as the parties come to light with what they're actually doing, where they ignore the base vote and they use their special rules, if you want to call it that. In the DNC, it's the superdelegates. In the RNC, it's their brokered convention. We're going to see, a mass exodus of folks leaving those parties once the conventions happen. And so I know that we have enough time to get ballot establishments and to get people aware of what it is that we have the potential to accomplish as an organization. And to be honest, we already have people in office. We have folks that have been elected to office, and we have folks that are running in all these uncontested races all over the country. So it's going to be a monumental shift come November. I think people are going to think of nowhere.
I think that I can do this for you. I think that I can get you exposure to a military order. I don't know about the VFW. I have to talk to my wife about that because she has, you know, more insight into that. She's been on the national convention floor, and she was a state commander for the supreme commander for her military organization out here in San Diego. So a few years back. So she does have a strong voice. I know that getting you exposure to the military order, the cootie, as they call it, and believe me, they come from all over the country. Every VFW has a pup tent, they call them. And a pup tent is an organization within the VFW who are veterans that belong to this organization called the cooties. And so their national convention, as I said, is in July. And I know that, you know, I could certainly invite a guest to come and, you know, mingle with them and speak with them a little bit and talk with them. And then from there, I don't know, you know, what kind of exposure you'll get, what kind of greetings you'll get, or how you'll be received. But I can help you in that aspect, that I'm pretty sure of, if that sounds good.
Well, if it makes any difference, Peter, I am a member of Post 4747 in Vernon, Texas.
Well, then you must know who the cooties are.
I do.
Okay, so there's and so certainly there's an opportunity as a member. You should hit the convention floor, and you probably have better access from your commander in Texas to get that access to the floor of the VFW National Convention.
Okay. We'll discuss that with him.
Peter, not to interrupt you guys. Peter, listen, Peter, how can these two gentlemen get a hold of you if they have to? And because I know you're on the road, you're going to Florida. I told them about that before I got you on, and I appreciate the time you spent because you are a pastor of a church. But how can these two gentlemen reach you? And you also have your own little program on Thursdays where you teach sound doctrine, which is a biblical show. How can these two individuals keep in touch with you and your wife so that we can make this happen? Because we want to make our talk action. We want our words to become live, and these two individuals here, they got my support, and I'll support them on this program. And you know, my show has many supporters and many listeners. I had the former president of Canada on this program 2 weeks ago, so there are prominent people listening tonight. And Peter, how can they get in touch with you? Just plug your show talk to these two.
You can email me. You can email me at Ventura. It's capital V, Ventura. Peter. 77@gmail.com, and I'll respond to you as fast as I can. If there's some information I can give you, I'm going to speak with my wife this evening. I'm pretty intrigued with this. I'd certainly love to read your constitution and bylaws, what your mission statement is, and then from there I can you know, if it sounds as good as it sounds, then, you know, maybe I can do something on this end in California for you.
I would encourage you to go to the party's website, veteranspartyofamerica.org, and check us out.
All right. Veteranspartyofamerica.org.
That's great. Peter, that's I appreciate it. I know you got to run, and I don't know if there's any other callers that want to ask these two gentlemen a question tonight. If you do, then you need to call in now because we're going to start getting ready to wrap it up very soon. So the number is 657-383-0616. I know I got plenty of people who just want to listen. Hey, that's fine. You could just listen because, like I said, this isn't Fox News where we pay our guests to come on here and ask questions. We're 100% live.
That would be great.
I know it. I know it.
I want to say this, Joe, to these two gentlemen. I'm pleased to meet you, and we may be talking to a future president here and vice president.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah,
I certainly hope so.
But hey, who knows? You know, America's a funny place. There's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of anger among veterans. And I've spent a lot of time around veterans, and as you have, you're part of that VFW, you know. And it's a special spirit. Wow. You are America.
We have the unique ability in this country to change the things we don't like. We, the people, have that power. We just have to use it.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. But I think also these things going on in the country now with this election has exposed some people to some things they didn't realize, you know, when the establishment had their private meeting there and they exposed them for trying to, you know, broker this convention and figure out how they're going to get rid of certain delegates and certain people. And I think the country was exposed to something that we normally don't get a taste of. So we gotta yes, sir.
People need to pay attention to the conventions. A lot of people don't realize that the conventions open with changes to rulemaking. So anything that currently exists in the party's rules that is counterproductive to their desired intent will change before the nomination ceremony is held. The rules will change. They've done it every election.
Well, my experience in the media and even in the church and in life has been, you know, education. And people need to be educated, edified. They need to be educated about these things, and they don't know it. There's a lot of things that people are just blind to. They're so oppressed in their lives, and they're just running their course every day, and they don't realize that the power that they actually yield. And so I agree with what you're saying, and I think that your exposure is a great deal for you, and I think it would have a great impact. And I think you need to maybe think about that a little bit. How can you gain more exposure? I have your email to your organization. I can reach you through that.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
When I get back from my run, I have to go to Florida and then up north, and then I'll be back. So a couple weeks, and then I'll get a hold of you. And then maybe we can get Joe and myself and Nathan, my producer, and we'll get together and we'll put something together on
that's
another
true.
Program.
And you're absolutely, Peter, you're right, and I'll get the cap. Who is a disabled Navy vet also, if you remember I introduced you to Cap or I told you about him.
Sure.
And we'll get all three shows and three networks together where we can reach the entire audience and, hey, exposure,
and
man.
That's good.
Let's get these
that's
guys
good.
Known.
And I've gotten hit as far away as South Korea. So, you know, we're talking here and nobody's calling in. Don't ever let that fool you. When we go back and I look at numbers and things and I say, wow, you know, I thought nobody was here tonight. I was alone. And then I find out that, you know, people archive. They go back because they couldn't get on tonight. They'll go back in and they'll dig into these programs again. And so don't get discouraged if you're not getting calls. A lot of people are afraid, I found, to talk on the radio, and I don't know why. But they are. And so we do need to, when I get back from this Florida trip, then I'll contact you and Joe, and then we'll see if we can maybe, like you said, bang it out on three different stations.
That'd be fantastic. We'll make ourselves available.
And I know you will. These two gentlemen are very upfront, honest. There was no problem. They kept their word tonight. Like I said, I never met them until 10 after 6 tonight. And this was orchestrated through a third party, one of their brothers on Facebook. And, hey, these are honorable men. And I'm going to tell you right now, look, Peter, I've called the White House on this program. Like I said, I had the former Prime Minister of Canada on this program, and it was so difficult to get a hold of these politicians to get them on. And look, I can get a vet on this program to talk about what they're doing or even about their life with no problem at all, because these men are honorable. They swore an oath to the Constitution, like this gentleman said in the beginning of the program, and that's important. They will die for this. They will die for the Constitution, family, and God, and country. It's a fact. We know it. And those people, like I said, who spit in these veterans' faces, you disgust me. It's disgusting. And we need. And those are liberals out there who don't know nothing, who've been brainwashed by the New World Order and all the other garbage out there. And you know what, Peter? I'm glad I was able to get you. I called you. You didn't answer. And you called back. And God works in mysterious ways. And, right, we may be talking to the next president here, you know?
Yes, this is true. Now, I would encourage my wife's name is Marilyn, and I'm sure the cooties down there are very familiar with, especially from Texas. We meet a lot of them up here in Northern California when we have our regional meetings, and we probably know a lot of people down that way. But it's been my pleasure, and it's been an honor speaking with you, and I want to thank you for your service to this country.
Thank you, too, sir.
And keep doing what you're doing, and we'll see where we go. My wife is also, she's an assistant State Department service officer up here at the VFW in Mission Valley at the VA. And I can't get her to retire, so she just loves her veterans, and she's going to keep fighting for them and getting them their benefits, and that's what she does. And she's, you know, come from all over the country. Duncan Hunter. Recently, Senator Duncan Hunter wrote her a very nice letter thanking her for some of the things that she's done for the Vietnam-era vets. So let me talk with her a little bit. Let me put a little something together in my mind, and we'll do something. Let's see what we can do.
That's great. Yeah, that's great, Peter. Hey, listen, be safe on your trip to Florida, brother, and touch base with me throughout your trip, okay? Because like I said, like these two gentlemen know, you're one of my good friends, if not my best friend. So keep in touch with me, okay?
Okay, I will, and I'll probably drop in on you on my way back down south if I can. Gentlemen, you have a great day, and I'm sorry I'm on a run. I would love to talk to you a little more about what you know, different policy opinions and things, but we're okay. And I'll be in touch with you. I'll check the website out, and you have my email. And, again, thank you for your service to this country. Thank you for believing in this country, because I do also. And I love America. I just don't like the people running it.
Amen.
Joseph, you have a good night. And remember, we're Baptists. You know, praise the Lord, pass the ammo. You know, they were at Bunker Hill.
All right, Peter. God bless. Take care.
God bless you.
All right, listen. All right, thank you. That was Dr. Peter Ventura from Imperial Beach, San Diego, California. I appreciate him calling in tonight. That's great. And if there's anyone else, we're going to start getting ready to wrap it up. I'm going to let my two guests wrap it up and give their contact information one more time. But if anyone has a question, you need to do so now, and I'd appreciate it if any of my supporters would at least chip in and just say hello to them. If not, then I understand. And I know I have several people on the line tonight. And remember, those of you who are not familiar with the program, the phone number is 657-383-0616. And you've got to press 1 to be connected. And also, the Navy dad that I talked about in the beginning, I'm so happy to see that now he's in federal court. That was an emotional show we did a week and a half ago where CPS kidnapped his children. And we're going to continue fighting that issue also, and my prayers go out to him, and I know a lot of people contacted me after that show and were very sad about what they heard. And I do have one person that wants to check in tonight real quick, and this is Joe from Meriden, Connecticut. Go ahead, Joe. You're live on the air.
Good evening, Joe. Good evening, Chris. And I don't know the other guy. I don't have much to add. I'm just on here saying I'm willing to, you know, help support you. I'm not, quite frankly, of your era, although I am, but of circumstances beyond my control. I didn't join in the fights around the world. And I do agree with the political process that it is broken and it is beyond repair. And currently at this time, it's becoming a laughingstock, so something definitely needs to be done. And I am reading your website right now, and I'll do what I can. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your interest and your support.
All right, thanks, Joe. Joe from Meriden, Connecticut. Thank you very much. And I know Mike from the state of Wisconsin. He checked in with us tonight, sent me an email. I have Elizabeth Rondo from Wallingford, Connecticut. And I have Joe from Sebastian, Florida. He's actually from the old school, the World War II era. He's a Navy vet. I get all the Navy vets come on to this program. But, hey, why not, you know? But anyway, Chris, and please wrap it up for us. And, of course, my other guests, too. I'm sorry. The time flew by pretty quick, but I want you both to go ahead and give you all your information and close it out for me tonight, please.
All right. Well, as Joe can attest, like you said, we just kind of showed up here. We didn't have any preconditions. We're open books. Ask us anything that you want. As I mentioned before, the campaign does have a Facebook. Manage it myself. If you have questions, come to Chris Kenniston for President 2016 on Facebook. Ask me yourself. I'll answer anything. If you don't do Facebook, you're welcome to email me, chriskenniston2016@gmail.com. We'll answer any questions.
Okay. Your counterpart there, you want to wrap it up too? You got something else you want to close out with, sir?
I'm good. I just wanted to say thank you for having us on, and thanks for everybody listening in. It's always a pleasure to talk to other folks that understand what we're trying to do.
Hey, you guys were great. You're very professional, well-spoken, and I respect your service. Let me tell you, you guys are great. And by all means, my show is your platform anytime, anywhere. And hopefully we could check in with each other in a few months or after this Republican-Democrat nonsense is over with and we start to get to the real election and you guys are on the ballot and we can get you out there and really start promoting you two guys, because you know what, you got my support, you got my supporters, because I've gotten about 38 emails already. I haven't read them all, but they're going to forward this show. And also, you guys, this show is archived. You can download it and forward it to your members and your friends. Let it get out there and spread it around. You know?
Absolutely. We always do. We always make the podcasts available.
Hey, that's great. Hey, guys, God bless. Take care. I'm going to get ready to wrap it up. I do a little thing at the end like I did in the beginning, but I love you guys. You guys are great. Be safe. God bless you. Take care.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were going to have a fight. We had an explosion, and we are defending, and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened, an acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.
Hey, everyone. Thank you very much for listening tonight. I appreciate it. God bless. Thank you for Dr. Peter Ventura out of San Diego, California. Have a safe trip. Thank you for Joe in Meriden, Connecticut. Thank you for all of you others who listened in tonight. I got your emails, about 38, 40 emails. They keep coming in. Let's support these two gentlemen and their organization. It sounds pretty good. Hey, I wouldn't want to support anyone else than these gentlemen. I mean, look what we got. Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, he sounds good, but hey, I got a lot of concerns. I said that from the beginning, and we sure don't want Hillary. So, everyone, God bless. Take care. Be safe out there. Make sure you tune in Sunday. This show is growing, and it's amazing. And I like to thank Peter and Nathan, and who gave me my start, basically, on Blog Talk Radio, because without them, I would have never even known about it. So, this show has so many listeners and supporters now. I want to thank you for your support. I really do. And for those that want to try to disrupt the show like they did last Thursday with the crank calls and the hate mail, hey, you're only upping my ratings and you're bringing attention to the show, so you're helping me in a way, but I'm not allowing your voice to be heard. So shame on you. Grow up. And you know what? Fight for something important. You want to call in and talk about something important? Great. If you want to talk like an idiot, then you're only making a fool of yourself. But anyway, thanks for my guests tonight. I really appreciate it. God bless. And I know Mike tuned in again tonight. He missed the show. You need to go down and archive it, Mike. Mike from Wisconsin. We had everyone on tonight. We had two special guests who are part of a national organization in all 50 states, veterans. I wish you would have tuned in earlier. And, of course, we had my special guest, Dr. Ventura. He chipped in tonight, and we had Joe from Meriden who contributed live. So you know what? We've all got to make sure we get our voices heard. That's what's important, guys. It really is. So go back and it shows archive. Go back, download it, listen to it. You missed a great program, those of you who should have been on tonight. So I'm sorry if you missed it live and you had something you wanted to talk about. Anyway, once again, God bless. Take care.